You've had your nose deep in legislation and standards all year. And you finally pass your degree. Now what? Oh goodness. You forgot. You have to go apply for a job. You begrudgingly go and apply around, and after the 10th place you applied to, you finally land an interview. Getting the interview was difficult enough, but instead of Ifaris, the interviewing panel wants to know about you, your interests, your passions. How do you prepare for a career when it's not just about the books? Once again, we are joined by MD and co-founder of Campus Connect, Saika Trainee Trailblazer of 2023, soon to sign off as a CA, probably already a CA in 2025, Wamashudu Mukele. We chat about what recruiters are truly in search of when prospecting for and interviewing candidates for jobs, and how you can best position yourself for the job market. We also chat about the story of the founding of Campus Connect, CQ and LQ over IQ and EQ in your job search skill requirements, public speaking lessons from speaking at the Saika Under 35 networking event, how he has turned imposter syndrome into his power, his greatest lessons from his favorite book, and more. I hope you enjoy. My travelers on the road to CASA. Woo 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 woo. Is that the vibe? Is that like, you know, the road to CA vibe? Like, oh, we're gonna be chartered accountants. I hope so. Guys, next week is it's a big one. I'm even hyping it the week before on the podcast. Like, we are with a top 35 under 35 CA in 2023, one of the top technologists in the profession, and an Excel MVP. Like, this guy is phenomenal. His name is Renier Vessels, and I think you should stay tuned to check out what we have to chat about next week. His journey is incredible, his perspective is incredible, and his expertise in technology is also invaluable. So stay tuned for that, be on the lookout, and enjoy this next episode, this part two. On to part two. Campus Connect is going to be in the show notes, right?
Yep. Campus Connect, that's my firstborn baby.
Your firstborn?
Yeah.
Can you explain to us like what you guys do and how students can use it?
Okay. It's threefold, basically. First, we're looking at providing students with summarized notes. Simple terms, right? How we do it, I'll get to. Why is that important? Lecture notes are 80 pages, 100 pages.
Mm.
A day before an exam, when you need to conceptualize that, can get overwhelming, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the reason why we go to tutoring classes, so they can just crunch that down for us. So that's basically summarized notes, right? And videos. Secondly, how do we do it in such a way that it's not boring? I'm sure everyone has watched cartoons before and they found joy in it. So let's put some animation, you know, in these educational materials so that you can at least find some light in what you're doing. You don't want to be there at 11 o'clock at night just reading black and white paper. Let's put some color in it so you can, number one, remember things that are there. Number two, also, you know, to create some joy in what you're learning.
Mm-hmm.
That's the second one, right? And then, so we're educating or supplementing lecture notes, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, that resulted in a huge pool of students coming onto our website because of that.
Yeah, they're success. Free and they're high quality.
Yeah, free, high quality, right?
Mm-hmm. And guys, like, I've actually been using your notes for years now. These things are actually like crazy high quality.
Yeah,
like you'd think you really think that this is like a paid thing.
literally.
Yeah.
But it's free,
it's
right?
Free, yeah.
Free for students. Okay, that has resulted in high volume of students coming onto our website. Step two, how can we help these students now? Okay, so we're helping them pass the exam. How else can we help them? They are students, so they require certain help in their journey to become a chartered accountant, right? How do we do that? So we partner with institutions that have interest in these students and their journey to become a chartered accountant.
Mm.
So we have partnered with a recruitment firm called Apti that uses AI technology to place students at the right accounting firm, right? So we're not good at that.
Mm.
They are good at that. Mm. But we have the data and the volume of students. So why not partner the students that we have with a specialty firm in recruitment in order to just help their student find the right
article program?
You get my point?
And it gets to, remember those three things that you must answer at the beginning of your career. What are your strengths? What are your values?
Yep.
That's what they're really good at aligning.
100%, right? So be that bridge.
I mean, even how do you work, to be honest? Apti, they literally, in their assessment,
they
analyze everything.
Proper.
Yeah.
Proper. Oh, I love Luke and Nick.
Yeah.
So we partner with Apti just so we can enhance the student's journey to become a chartered accountant.
The recruitment side, yeah.
Basically, right? Another one is now soft skills. So we partnered with another institution where we took 400 of their trainees, took 400 of their students, of our students on our platform, and created a mentorship program. Okay? Mm. So again, guiding students in that journey. So a mentor is important. I myself as a mentor to this day, just so you can guide a person in their journey to where they want to become, right? So again, how are we doing that? Through mentorship programs. Webinars, right?
Mm-hmm.
Interviews, how to write a CV. Again, soft skills that, look, at university, they don't teach us these things, but these are soft skills that you need to learn in order to break through what you want to break through in.
Mm-hmm.
So again, we'll get institution leaders to come and coach our students in, you know, this journey to become a chartered accountant through how to answer interview questions, how to write a CV, you know, these soft skills that we should be learning. I'm not going to lie. I really think it should be a subject in university where, you know, we just learn how to do these things, because you learn them when you're in articles, and then what happens? And then you don't excel in that because you weren't taught in it. So basically helping the students in their journey to become a chartered accountant through learning, recruitment, and soft skills. And then they can access this for free on www.campusconnect.co.za. Free of charge. No need to pay R5 or anything. We offer this for free to students.
That'll be linked in the show notes.
Yeah.
For anyone who needs the notes. Like soft skills. I mean, you just mentioned all these things that recruiters require.
Yeah.
What are some of the things, you know, from your perspective that you know recruiters want to see in their grads on a CV? Etc.
Of course, your marks are important, but look, a recruitment company or a company that has interest in talent, company culture is important, right? I think that's the reason why the interview process is important, to see if this person who's interested in coming to work for me aligns with the culture of the firm, right? I think that's the biggest thing that they want to see. You can answer, if it's 15 questions or if it's 9 questions, the technical questions, they know that you have that. They know that you didn't go through 4 years for
just
nothing.
Just twiddling your thumbs.
No, yeah, literally. They want to see if this person will fit in our company culture, because if that, it's going to be like a married couple.
Mm.
You know, you grow together. On the CV, it has to be short, man. I mean, I used to have a 9-page CV. You're not going to read that, because if 1,000 applications, right?
Yeah.
They're trying to look at being short and concise, get straight to the point. What makes you different from anyone else?
Mm.
Again, being a difference maker, right? What sets you apart? Yes, if Alunga has 65% in accounting and I have 80% in accounting, it doesn't really mean anything. You know, what makes you different from me?
Mm.
Again, your CV should kind of stand out, but very short and concise. I mean, with my biography, would you believe that my CV is only one page?
One page?
One page.
Sure. How do you do that? How do you summarize it so concisely?
Bullet points and speaking about the the right things, I would say. I mean, I don't even have coaching on my on my CV. I should, though.
I mean, that's a skill, dude.
It's a skill. That's but the thing. I just had so many things.
Yeah, you've got enough.
Yeah, right. But you just have to be short and concise. You have to hit the point. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
Because these people have so many things to, so many CVs to go through.
Mm.
They don't have time to go through. I mean, 3 pages is a lot. I'm not going to lie to you. Mm. It's a lot. They're trying to look at short, concise, get straight to the point. What makes you different from other your other candidates?
Mm. There was also, in terms of qualities, I read this interesting thing and I want to get your take on it.
Yeah.
So I was reading this one article on, this guy in the UK was writing about how to best position yourself in through what you do in varsity for the work world, right?
Mm.
And he mentioned this idea of CQ and LQ.
Okay.
Like everyone's heard of EQ and IQ, right?
Yep.
Emotional quotient, intelligence quotient. But CQ and LQ are some of the qualities that employers are looking more and more for today.
Yep.
Which are curiosity quotient.
Yep.
And learning quotient.
Okay.
So basically curiosity quotient is one's inclination towards interests, right, beyond their field.
Okay.
That's one. And then learning quotient is your ability and willingness to pivot and learn skills in the world that's changing today. So like that's why they value curiosity and learning, because I mean, you know, there's a lot of talk around, will CAs be relevant? And obviously, that's why they're putting in the Psyche 2025 framework and all these new competencies and new programs that are coming in. But that is all a function, or that is all mitigated the risk through your ability to learn.
Mm.
So what do you think about those two, curiosity quotient and learning quotient?
It's important, right? And to show how I think the important question is how do you display that in your CV, right? Your marks are not going to display that.
No. Yeah.
Okay. I want to lean towards extramural activities,
mm-hmm.
right? So me being a coach is a skill set that will probably tap into those brackets.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the leadership skill set, right?
Mm-hmm.
What other programs am I participating in that will allow me to tap into those programs that you just mentioned?
Mm.
Look, a lot of people don't have time for extramural activities. That's a fact. But recruiters actually value these things.
They value these things.
They really do. Because you're showing them that you're not all about your IFRS and your tax, but there's also certain elements that and skills that you have that you can display, that you can learn, you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
A versatile chartered accountant will always be the one who's going to be preferred than the IFRS one.
Mm.
So in order to display that, I really encourage people to participate in other extramural activities. Mm,
societies, clubs.
It's extremely important. They really do value that. And in doing so, you'll be able to show them the skill sets that they look for. Besides
those soft skills.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Besides getting an 18 in accounting. It's not about that. Really, it really isn't.
Mm. Hey. Yeah, guys, go try stuff out.
Yeah.
I think try stuff out is the prevailing thing.
It's important. It's extremely important.
Mm.
Life is not all about books, I would say.
Mm.
Think about it like this. There's 500 of you in the class. All of you are doing the same thing. What differentiates you from your neighbor?
Mm.
Basically. Look at it like that.
Mm.
What makes you different from the person sitting next to you?
Interesting quote. I think it was Peter Thiel.
Mm.
Don't aim to be the best.
Mm.
Aim to be the only.
Mm.
And I think like when you lean into those things that make you weird and you're like the things that you're curious about, what you'll find is that you're going to eventually, if you just carry on, you just literally just have to do it over a few years.
Yeah.
You're going to have interests that intersect in a way that no one has ever seen.
Yeah.
You know, you like data science. Mm. We're not studying data science, yeah?
We're not.
But you really like data and analytics. You also really like AI. Mm. You're really interested in like ChatGPT and LLMs and all these machine learning principles and studies and courses. You've been doing all those things.
Yeah.
And you do accounting and you like it. Then you start to see this crazy intersection of something that we've never seen.
Yeah.
Something that is invaluable, irreplaceable.
And that's so important. It will work. It will end up intersecting.
Mm.
Right? I want to make an example of you.
Mm.
Right? Podcasting is not in your modules, is it?
Nope.
It's not. But you telling stories of people who have walked the journey. It's intersecting.
Mm.
I'm sure you have learned something from me today.
I'm learning from people every day. That's the crazy thing.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
And you're also obligated to tell people what you have learned.
Mm. Mm.
Do you get what I'm trying to say?
Mm.
Again, intersecting.
Mm.
It's extremely important just to be that, to be a difference. And you're doing something that you're passionate about. No, there's a CA in music.
Yeah.
You get what I'm trying to say? You can make that intersect as well.
Yeah.
There's a CA in football.
There's a CA.
It just doesn't have to be about the books.
Mm.
Right? Yes, do what you're good at, but also find your passion in something and make a difference in that field.
Mm.
Yeah.
Dude, you spoke at that Psyche Under 35 networking event, right?
Yeah.
What happened there? What were some of those key lessons? You've already spoken about how you spoke.
Yeah.
And I don't even want to get into the imposter syndrome thing around it.
Yeah.
But what were some of those key lessons that you learned there?
So, you know, I think that was the first time I actually speak in front of people.
The first time you spoke.
Okay. The first time was when I won Trailblazer, right?
So it's the second time.
Yeah, because when I won Trailblazer, I had to go and say a thank you speech. Right, but that was like 5, 10, 20 seconds rather than long. Just thank you to my parents, you know, etc. Et cool. Now, this one, it has to be structured, get people entertained, don't get them bored. Right, I had 10 minutes to do this.
Yo, 10 minutes of speaking.
Yo,
you know, 10 minutes is longer than people think on stage.
It's long. What I learned is breathing techniques when you're speaking.
Okay, who did you learn that from?
So I would research Vusi Thembekwayo, Simon Sinek.
Okay.
You know, industry leaders who do this for a living.
Yeah.
Right? And you'll see these guys would speak and relax. You know, Vusi once said something. He's like, the moment you said right, it means that your brain, I want to say this right, it means that your brain is telling you to slow down.
Hmm.
Okay?
Hmm.
Your brain is telling you to slow down.
Hmm.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Hmm.
You know, I'm researching about this, right?
Hmm.
And I'm trying to apply it.
Hmm.
And when I go there, so I had to do it 3 times. So the stations. So the first station is speak in front of 30 people, another station, another 30 people, another station, 30 people. 3 times I have to present
that
my speech.
That is so interesting.
Yeah, it was like, what do they call this? Noise room? I forgot what the term is.
Oh, where they wear headphones and they're listening to you via the headphones.
Yes,
it was a silent disco.
Silent, yes, that's what they call it. That's what it was. Right?
Psyche loves things. Yo.
Yeah, so I'm doing that and every time I speak, I'm learning something. How do I interact with the crowd? When do I throw humor? You know, things like that. And, invaluable experience. I'm not going to lie. What I learned from that as well, a key takeaway was posture as well.
Mm.
So I looked at the videos. I'm like, okay, my posture is not right there. Mm. So next time I do it, or next time I speak, in fact, 3 weeks later, I spoke at UJ.
Mm.
And I'm like, okay, when I go to UJ, I need to fix my posture. Can you see I'm learning things as I'm doing these events, right?
Mm.
Yo, now I can go to work, speak in front of first year, second years, literally present, and I'm learning these things that I'm learning that I experienced from these Psyche events, which you've seen invaluable, man.
Mm.
I mean, at my age, yeah, invaluable experience. I can't thank, I really owe my life to psych, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah. That is huge, bro, because, we don't get it. We don't get speaking experience.
Yeah,
we don't. Throughout training, throughout undergrad, not much. And to have it in front of CAs.
So, you know what the funny thing is, right? For me to kill, because I wasn't shy, I wasn't scared, to be honest with you.
Mm.
So I'm like, imagine these were my grade one boys. Literally, that's what I was telling myself.
So you have had speaking experience. It's the grade one boys. You're sitting in front of the team. There's 20 kids.
Yes.
Guys, we're going to go out there. And we're going to finish these guys.
Okay, fair. I have had, right?
Wow, but that's incredible. It's transferable.
Yes. Literally, I'm like, don't be scared. I was not nervous at all. I was very surprised. I'm like, just imagine these are your grade one, grade two boys. As if you're speaking to them on the field. That's what I did. And flawless. I excelled. People love my stories. I mean, in the panel, they just kept on asking me questions. I was like, guys, come on. There's other people that you need to ask questions to as well. You know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I just had to imagine that these are my grade one, because I'm not afraid of grade ones. You know? But these are CAs. So I was like, hey, will I be able to do this? No, I nearly declined the offer. I swear. I nearly declined the offer. I was like, I can't do this.
You nearly gave in to the imposter.
Literally. I'm like, I can't do this. Let me rethink. And she convinced me. It was Irene from Saika.
Okay.
She convinced me. I'm like, okay, fine. Let's do it. But I have nothing to lose.
Is there a point in time that imposter syndrome came in to your life? Or has it been a thing throughout your life?
Just been a thing throughout my life.
Yeah.
I want to attribute it to bullying. I was bullied in high school. So it definitely kicked in there. I've always had it. Just never thought I was worthy enough, I would say, because of the constant bullying in high school. You know how boys' schools are like.
Yeah. I was there.
So it stemmed from that.
Yeah.
Biggest thing stemmed from that. Just didn't believe in myself. I mean, I was really tiny in high school, but played rugby, imagine. And I did it to prove a point.
Really?
Yeah, to say, hey, I'm not this small boy you think I have. I have heart. And I played A-team rugby.
You see.
So again, performing 3 times so that I can just not disappoint those who believe in
me. So you can kind of prove people wrong? Oh, you said that you cannot disappoint people.
Yeah, who believed in me. So I had a coach in my rugby team.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, if I didn't give my best, I would have let him down. You know what I'm trying to say? He saw something in me. I had to perform extra so that I just don't disappoint him. Because he saw something in me. He saw value, you know, in this young boy. So that's the reason why, you know. So the imposter syndrome is because people will rate me there. Now, how do I match that? I have to perform 1, 2, 3. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Just so I can actually perform at that peak that they expect me to perform in.
So you feel like you're not qualified to be in a room, which makes you work even harder 100%. To feel like you are.
Yes.
But even if you don't.
Yeah. Literally, that's the case.
That actually gets into an idea that I've been thinking about imposter syndrome. So imposter syndrome defined is when you don't believe you are qualified, even though you are.
Yep.
So there is the underlying actual real qualification without the belief that you are, that you are a fraud, that people will find you out. And so there is that. Some people are qualified, like yourself. I mean, dude, you have done so much. You are definitely qualified to be in certain spaces.
Yeah.
To be on a stage, you were called onto the stage because you're qualified to speak on that stage with the business that you've run, the impact you've made, but you still feel like you're not. But then there's the other side, which people think is imposter syndrome, but it's actually just a lack of preparation.
Yeah.
So people will not put in the requisite work. They might put in some work. They might put in some effort, but they won't really put in the requisite work to be truly qualified.
Yeah.
And then they'll pitch up on the day and then feel like an imposter, but it's actually not imposter. It's anxiety because you're not actually confident in your abilities.
Yeah, I see.
You see, but in your case, it's definitely imposter syndrome. The thing about imposter syndrome is that there is a bright side to it.
Yeah.
Because you do more.
Yes. That's how I view it, to be honest.
You do more.
I had to mold it into a positive and not a negative. Because if I mold it into a negative, I was going to say no.
Mm.
You get what I'm trying to say? Mm. I was going to think less of myself and say, no, I can't do that. Mm. Whereas I can. Mm. So it's always like, I can do it and I'm going to excel in trying to achieve what I'm trying to achieve.
Mm.
So I always look at it as positive. It is seen as a negative, but I have a positive outlook of how my imposter syndrome weighs. Yeah.
I feel like it's also a great compass because like, think about it like this, right? Let's say you're in a room filled with the world's best, right? And you've obviously, you've gotten to a level where you've qualified yourself to be there. But, you know, if let's say you're a young CA and you're in a room full of CAs.
Yeah.
Like, of course I'm going to feel like an imposter. Of course. Like, I'm going to feel a little bit like I'm out of my depth.
100%.
Rightfully so. And I'm going to put in twice the work because I know, hey, maybe they'll find out. You know, maybe they'll find out. I need to put in twice the work. So it's this positive pressure.
Yeah.
But it's a potentially positive pressure.
That's how I view it.
It actually even gets to the idea that was posed by Stephen Bartlett in this one book. And these guys are going to get annoyed because I say this book all the time. It's his book, Diary of a CEO, The Diary of a CEO.
I'm halfway through that book.
The 50 Laws of Business and Life.
You need to motivate me to finish it.
Okay. what stage are you in? So have you read The Self?
Yes, Self. I think I'm on The Business, I think.
So you're on The Team.
Yes.
So the thing about The Laws, I don't think you really have to read the book.
Mm.
You actually could just read The Laws.
Okay.
And because I try to apply in my own life, I literally try and just make certain theses in terms of principles. Like right now, I sort of have four principles in my life, which is based on the values of a team out of another podcast that I run with my brother, which is unbridled optimism.
Okay.
I will see the bright side because that's the only way that hope is sustained.
Okay.
As long as there's hope, there's a thread that will sustain and will survive anything, no matter what it is. So unbridled optimism is one. Personal growth. So my best is getting better all the time.
100%.
And that's my belief. I'm always getting better and I need to always be getting better.
Yeah.
So that's personal growth. And long-term thinking, huge one. The efforts of today are not for today.
Yeah.
They're for tomorrow.
100%.
And I always try and make sure that my efforts and my life is just thinking in the long term. And the last principle of my life right now is consistency over intensity.
Mm.
The only law of success really is don't stop.
Mm. I actually live by that fourth one.
Mm.
Consistency.
Just don't stop.
Just don't stop.
Just keep it consistent.
Can I tell you the truth?
Uh-huh.
I passed CTA because of that principle. I'm not going to lie to you.
You mentioned earlier that you wouldn't consider yourself the most intelligent.
No.
You'd consider yourself the disciplined.
The disciplined one. And to be consistent, you need to be disciplined.
Mm. Mm.
Do you get my point?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I live by that principle daily.
Mm.
I know people who were the opposite, so the intensity, right? And it didn't work out. And I was like, no. Consistent.
Mm.
And goes back to 10,000 hours.
Oh, so when you read that, okay, guys, you're going to have to share it now. Your favorite book, Outliers by Malcolm Gladwell. And you're going to share the prevailing lessons that you got from that book. Because I know that book is fire.
Yeah.
So I know book recommendations from my guest is always fire. And you're obviously a fire guest. So tell us a bit about Outliers and the prevailing lessons that you've gotten out of that book.
Outliers. So there's this principle called 10,000 hours. Biggest lesson I've ever learned in my life. And he speaks about if you do something repetitively, you will excel in it. Right? So it speaks about what you just said now, consistency.
Mm.
Messi would hit how many free kicks so he can be a free kick perfectionist. Get what I'm trying to say?
Mm-hmm.
In order to be a perfectionist is something. And you're not going to be perfect at it. Don't get me wrong. You won't be perfect at that. But in order to be excellent at it, you need to invest in the hours, which they call 10,000 hours,
mm-hmm.
in order to excel in what you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's the greatest key lesson that I've learned from that book
mm-hmm.
called Outliers, the 10,000 hour rule.
Have you done the input-output equation on any particular skill you want to gain?
Elaborate on that.
So I remember it was at the beginning of this year.
Mm.
And fortunately, I've still carried on. So sometimes I try things and then they don't stick.
Mm-hmm.
But this one has actually stuck in my subconscious. So I did an input-output equation. I said, so outline that 10,000 rule,
mm-hmm.
that 10,000 hour rule is a rule to mastery.
Yeah.
So basically, if you want to become a master in something, you put in 10,000 hours.
Yeah.
And then they sort of did like a calculation of like, if you put in like 4 hours a day for like 7 years in a skill, you can become a master at that skill.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, oh, skill, yo. This mastery idea, it's really powerful
mm-hmm.
because that consistency thing, it is one of the things that changes your life.
Yeah.
If you can just dedicate a portion of your life to something and just keep doing it and not stop,
yeah.
you'll be good.
100%.
So I was like, what skill? What skill? And I chose communication.
Okay.
I was like, communication skills, because I know communication skills coupled with the finance skills and the accounting skills that I'm learning in school.
Yeah.
The potent combination.
Yeah.
The business skills plus the communication skills. So I was like, okay, let me choose communication. I've already started with like public speaking yeah. and a little bit of podcast, but that was before I actually started this podcast. Okay. Now, what else was it? Started public speaking. I'm a speech coach now, so okay. I've started coaching.
Yeah.
So I'm in. Let me do a little bit of a tally
yeah.
of how many hours I've already actually achieved.
Okay.
And how many I need to achieve.
Okay.
To achieve that mastery.
I actually need to start doing that.
It's pretty useful.
I probably do it daily, but I actually haven't seen the output of it.
Yeah, like doing the actual equation.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. Mm. I actually need to do that, actually. Mm. The only way I can say I've seen the output is look at my first day of university
mm-hmm.
and now.
Yeah.
You see, I would look at it like that,
mm-hmm.
saying that the effort that I put in my university days, in my article days, molded me to become who I am today.
Mm.
That's the output, right?
Mm.
But then, I really need to employ that input-output equation. Actually, mm. that's very smart to actually track the progress. I think it's important because we kind of get demotivated.
Mm.
You know what I'm trying to say?
Mm.
One can be, especially gym, for example.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've quit so many times. I'm like, okay, I'll go. And then I'm like, I don't see progress. Let me just stick to my football. Let me go back. Because gym for me is not really about the physique, but what it does to my mentality. But I get demotivated because I don't see changes in the physique, right?
Mm.
So I think I should apply that in my gym schedule.
Mm. So actually, when I did that input-output equation, I coupled the 10,000-hour rule with this other book that I read, which is called The 20-Hour Rule.
Okay.
I think it's called that, which is basically, it's a book by a guy named Josh Kaufman. He's a great author. He also wrote The Personal MBA.
Okay.
And it's a book about skills acquisition. So oftentimes people, we've been hearing this 10,000 hours rule, you know, popularized by Malcolm Gladwell.
Yeah.
Again and again and again. And it's sort of daunting.
Mm.
10,000 hours. Like, not everyone wants to learn something to become a master.
Mm.
So he was trying to sort of distill this idea that all you need is actually 20 hours
mm-hmm.
to learn at least the basics of things to mm-hmm. become decent.
Yeah.
20, it, like, apparently, I don't know if there's research behind it, but 20 hours and you're better than most people.
Yeah.
So he actually had principles in the book that distilled how to expedite skills acquisition.
Mm.
So I actually used some of those principles in that input or output equation by breaking down the skill of communication because it's such a big one.
Mm.
It's very nebulous, very obscure.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know where to start into sub-skills.
Okay.
So when you think communication, think public speaking.
Yeah.
But not just public speaking. Think active listening.
Mm.
Like in the podcast, my ability to listen is my success.
100%.
Podcasting itself, marketing,
yeah,
writing.
Oh.
These are all sub-skills that fortunately I've carried on developing.
Yeah.
I haven't been tracking the whole equation. That part didn't really stick. But at least I'm still carrying on. And I've kind of committed to the end of articles, at least with the podcast. Okay. So I've got 4 years.
Yeah.
I'll probably accumulate 10 hours over the 4 years.
Yeah.
So yeah, it just helps with at least starting and just not stopping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's important.
Yeah, I know.
It's gems.
Gems, bro. Gems. Wama, if you could go back to first year, second year, maybe even high school you.
Yeah.
What would you tell him?
You're giving me difficult questions now. What would I tell myself to first year me? Don't be afraid to take risks.
Mm.
Yeah, definitely. Me starting campus clinic was a risk.
Mm.
Right? I'm actually afraid of taking risks. Like, just me risk generally. Averse, yeah. Yeah, very. But don't be afraid, because you never know the outcome of it. High risk comes with high reward. Mm. If I didn't take a risk of Campus Connect, how many people wouldn't I have touched? How was that going to play a role in my personal growth, you know? Just don't be afraid to take risks, because high risk comes with high rewards, and you'll see the benefits of that. When you take the risk, you know? So I'll tell myself that, basically. Yeah.
The success of your life is often behind the work you're too afraid to do.
Mm.
It's behind not getting out your comfort zone.
Mm.
It's behind being shy and staying shy.
Mm.
And just hiding behind that identity.
There's no growth in that.
There's no growth in that.
No growth.
There's growth in calculated risks.
100%.
There's growth in exiting the comfort zone and picking up your hand, man.
Yeah.
Picking up your hand, trying it out, and trying out that club, that interest, you know, tapping that person who's been next to you for the whole year that you've never spoken
100%.
To on the shoulder and saying, hi, my name is XYZ.
And you have nothing to lose.
You have nothing to lose.
That's one thing.
Mm.
You know, we are so young, man.
Yeah.
We have the world, you know, to see. Even now, I'm still young. You know what I'm trying to say?
Mm,
you can take so many risks and it's not going to impact your life that much.
Mm.
It will only benefit you.
Mm.
Literally, that's how I see it. We're still young. I mean, yeah, you do. Our parents dream of being the position we are in actually when they were our age.
Mm.
You know, just take that chance and you'll see how it will unfold.
Mm, man. Dude, speaking of young, I even forgot.
Yeah.
You are a global youth change maker.
Yeah.
What the heck is that? That is crazy. And like when is this thing that you're going to be speaking at or participating in?
It's a summit that I'll be participating in October over in Cape Town, where a group of young people across the globe will just be coming together to just try solve the SDGs, Sustainable Development Goals, issues that we have in our country, continent, the world. So very exciting times. I got nominated by SAICA because of the whole Trainee Trailblazer. So yeah, I'm very excited about that because, I mean, it's global, I guess.
That's crazy, bro.
Which is nice. Be participating with a few SAICA members like Paul, Asisipo. So very excited about that. And yeah, we're in October now. So end of October, we fly down to Cape Town to participate in the summit. Try learn as much as I can and try apply that in my day-to-day life to see how I can make a difference.
Yo, man. Big ups, man. Big ups. Like, big ups for being the difference.
No, thank you so much.
No, man, I really appreciate this. Yo, guys, if you're ready, please, Nacelaso, please follow this. Check out Campus Connect in the show notes. They're free notes, people. Yeah, and their quality. Yo, I hope it does not end but that it begins in CASA. Yes. Mama.
Thank you so much, Nunga.
Thank you, brother.